First Corinthians chapter number 5, and we'll be beginning in reading in verse number 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not as much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the word of God, the reading of the word of God, and the good instruction we get from it. I pray, Lord, as we teach down through this chapter, Lord, that you'll help us to better align our thinking, dear God, and understand, dear Lord, your attitude towards sins, Lord, that I think not only has the world gone soft on, Lord, but even the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, more and more, seems like things are just accepted. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God, to see what happened in the church of Corinth, and Lord, for us to be on guard against these things being allowed in our midst, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This chapter deals with the subject of fornication within the church. Not only is it within the church, but it is reported commonly. And so it's not that it was secretly in the church. It was not that only one or two people knew about the situation that was going on. It had been reported commonly. The people knew about what was going on. And we'll get into the specifics of what that was in just a minute. I want to kind of take a moment and remind you that the church of Corinth, as we've established in the first four chapters over and over again, is and has been declared by God's scriptures as being a carnal church. Let me remind you what that means. We defined it. It's good that we go back and look at that because there, if we allow carnality in our own individual life and we do not strive to be a spiritual Christian, then we become easy prey for these kind of sins in our life. Remember when I had the young men up here, remember the proper ordering of yourself as a Christian. Folks, when we were born into this world, before we were saved, we had a body, we had a soul, both of them were alive. We had a spirit, but it was dead in trespasses and sin. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit came in, rebirthed that spirit. But most of the time, at least for a while, a person still basically is body, soul, reborn spirit, and then the Holy Spirit. Now think about the order. One of the things we have to work on and we ought to look at, and I mean we need to look at it daily, and we need to stay on top of it. Am I properly ordered within myself? A carnal Christian, the difference between a carnal Christian and a spiritual Christian is the ordering of your parts. For instance, a carnal Christian is led by the flesh. Carnal means fleshly. So the flesh is the one that's controlling the situation. Okay, then after the flesh is the soul. And so the soul is a trinity. Remember this? And the trinity is the mind, the heart, and the will. Well, if your flesh is in control, the flesh is what is controlling the mind, and so you have fleshly thinking, carnal thinking. Carnal thinking produces carnal emotions in the heart, and thinking and emotions is what determines our actions, the actions of our will, and so forth. I'm talking about a born-again Christian here, folks. I'm not talking about a lost person right now, okay? Now, a lost person, that's all they've got to deal with. Okay, they've got the body, they've got the soul, they've got the dead spirit, and no presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, he gets down to the end of this chapter. He's like, folks, this kind of stuff goes off onto the world. And he said, you know, we're not that shocked. We're not that surprised. And by the way, it's not even the job of the church to try to dictate to those people what to do. He said, God will judge them. But he said, it's going on in the church. It's going on amongst Christians. You see, when you're saved, you have a great advantage. Because, yes, we still have the body, the flesh to deal with, and we still have the soul. You know, we've got a mind, and we've got a heart, and we've got a will, and we can make decisions. But we've got a reborn spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So what's the difference between a carnal Christian or a spiritual Christian is the swapping around, the reordering of your person. The Holy Spirit is the one that ought to be leading us. We ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We ought to seek His leading and His control and His power and His presence in our life. As the Holy Spirit of God then influences our reborn spirit, then it is our reborn spirit that is producing our thinking patterns. The Holy Spirit influencing our reborn spirit to have spiritual thoughts, which develops spiritual emotions, which means that we're making good spiritual decisions. And what's the flesh doing? Oh, it's way back here. It's the caboose. You know what? The Bible says, that's what I said even last Sunday night, I die daily. This thing here, you know, the Bible says in our flesh is no good thing. You know what? We're supposed to put this thing on the altar, present our bodies a living sacrifice, crawl up there every single morning, die to self. Don't let the flesh control what you're doing. Don't let the flesh have a say in your life. Folks, listen, that's the difference. Every saved person in here, you're either going to choose to be a carnal Christian or you can choose to be a spiritual Christian, but you're going to have to get off the throne of your life. And you're going to have to let the Holy Spirit begin to be the one that dictates the order of your life and influences the decisions of your life. It's a great thing when you see a carnal Christian decide, by the way, get sick of that old kind of life. Get sick of what it produces. Get sick of sitting here with all of the power of God inside of you and yet letting the flesh run you instead of God that you claim to have inside of you. Come on now. If you choose to do it, you can do it. But I'm just saying, isn't it neat when that gets flipped around and all of a sudden this person that was so controlled by the flesh, all of a sudden controlled by the Spirit. And the world had so impressed this person. You know, the Holy Spirit's not impressed a bit by the world. And all of a sudden, all you can see is the temporal. Now all you can see the eternal. And, you know, all you care about you. And all of a sudden, all you care about is God and other people and winning people to Christ and influencing people for eternity. It's a great way to live your life. But one of the reasons I reviewed this is this. We should not, if we have a church that is ordered in this fashion and the majority of the members are ordered in this fashion and the flesh is running the place, why would we be shocked to turn the page, look at chapter 5 and say, it's commonly reported among you that there's fornication? Because you know what? If you're going to let the flesh make the choices in your life and not the Spirit of God, you're going to end up in sexual sins. I guarantee you're going to end up in sexual sins. And so it's this again was the result of their carnality. And he says it's reported commonly among you. And he said, here's the sad part. He said the type of sexual sin that you're allowing in the church is one that is not even named among the Gentiles. By the way, you become a carnal Christian, stay a carnal Christian, you could end up doing some things that you think you would never do. You got to be careful. Get the right order. Get the Spirit of God in control of your life. And so I wanted to go back and review that because here's, preacher, how do you insulate yourself? I mean, man alive, this junk is everywhere and everywhere you turn and everywhere you look and the flesh. How's the best way to just insulate my marriage and insulate my mind and insulate, You know, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to ruin my testimony. I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want to shame the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, the best way to protect yourself is decide that the Holy Spirit of God, you know what? He's been the caboose long enough. And to really surrender yourself to the control of the Spirit of the Lord and crucify that flesh and get things back in proper order. Man, start feasting on some spiritual food. Strengthen that spirit instead of strengthening that flesh and surrender to the leading of the Spirit of God. And that is a great way to insulate yourself against these type of sins. Now, he's upset, Apostle Paul is, because it's been among them. It's commonly reported. Everybody knows it's going on, but it's not been dealt with. And it's interesting what he says in verse 2 then. And ye are puffed up. Now think about it. And have not rather mourned. Now it's interesting. He said, starts out by saying, listen, the problem is that one of the main reason that you're not dealing with this is because of your own pride. You've decided as a church that you're smarter than God as far as what ought to be done about these type of sins. And we're not. Now, when he's talking about fornication, preacher, what is he talking about there? This is a general definition I can give. I can teach this to an audience with a lot of different age groups in here, and I'll give you a general, good, biblical definition of fornication. And it's simply this. I believe that fornication is always defined by the sacred institute of marriage. Okay? You have three times in your life. Not everybody will, but most people have three times in their life. They have before marriage, they have during marriage, and then for those of you that are widowed, you have after marriage. How about that? But all fornication is defined by the institute of marriage. Okay, what does the Bible say? How's we supposed to conduct ourselves before marriage? We're to be pure before marriage. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, fornication is an indulging of any unlawful or unbiblical lust. Okay, so purity before marriage involves all manners of sexual sin before marriage. Guess what you're supposed to do? Abstain. Know how to possess your body in sanctification and honor. Then one day you become married. And how is purity defined then? Faithfulness in marriage. Faithfulness within that marriage. And then if the other one passes away and you have that after marriage time, obedience after marriage, and we're going to cover this biblical instruction for widowers when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And so we'll deal with that there. But to me, that's very simple, okay? Where am I in life? Are you not married yet? Okay, then you know what? Abstinence in all areas. Don't allow one sexual sin of any type to be a part of your life. In marriage, God's given you a husband or God's given you a wife. And you know what? Within the boundaries of that being faithful to that person, there's a great enjoyment that comes with that. After that, you know what? There's some biblical instruction as far as for widowers, as far as what God allows. And I'm going to wait and teach all of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But that's the best way to break it down and understand it. It's anything that breaks purity before marriage, outside the boundaries of faithfulness in marriage, or is disobedient to instruction as far as what is allowed after marriage. Now, here's the specific fornication that is going on in the church, involving a man who's having an immoral relationship with his stepmother. You can imagine that going on in the church? I mean, I can honestly imagine that going on in the world. Now, it's interesting that Paul says in verse number 3, he says, "For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed." Now, that's so interesting. Paul says, I don't know how far away he was. Let's say he was 1,000 miles away. He said, I'm 1,000 miles away from your church, and I know exactly what you ought to do about this situation. And, well, Paul, you aren't here. I still know exactly what to do about this. You ought to be doing about this situation. You don't know who's involved. I know exactly what you ought to do about this situation. I'm 1,000 miles away. Okay, this, well, you don't know the people involved. You don't know the background story. You don't know, these are nice people. You don't know how much they give in the church. I don't know why they were puffed up and not dealing with it. But Paul said, I could be 1,000 miles away. You know why Paul could be 1,000 miles away? Because of Leviticus 18:8, the nakedness of thy father's wife thou shalt not uncover, it is thy father's nakedness. Leviticus 20:11, and the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Doesn't sound like God's for this. Now, a lot of times, and by the way, we're going to get a little ahead of ourselves, but we're going to get there, all right? Man, we're making good time here. Man, I need to really slow down a little bit. I'm talking too fast. I want to get you out of here too early. But you know why he said, he's going to in a minute say, and let me tell you this. Paul says, I'm 1,000 miles away, and I can see it clearly. You're right in the midst of it, and you're confused about what you need to be doing. In a minute, he's going to get down to the end of the chapter, and he's going to say, you know what I told you? Not to keep company with fornicators. You know why? Because the more you keep company with fornicators, the more you get used to it. And the more you start sitting there making excuses for them. And the more, well, listen, you've got friendships involved. You got family ties involved. All of a sudden, you lost your convictions. Also, you know, remember when it was easy to say amen about some sins and it came in your family and now you're sitting there struggling to say amen and sometimes even mad? Come on now. Folks, it doesn't matter the circumstances of my life, my family, your family. Sin's still sin. It's still sin. Okay? And one of the reasons he said you need to distance yourself, I'm really helping somebody. We're going to get down to that point. But you know what? There's people, Christians, churches all over America that regularly, I mean on a regular basis, weekly basis, keep company with fornicators. And that's one of the reasons you've gone soft on the sin. Paul said, listen, I'm 1,000 miles away from him. I can see it clear. You know what's muddied your vision? It's because you've allowed it to set in that congregation and you've all gotten used to it. And some of you even got a little defensive about it. Now, that should help us. He says at the end of this, look at the very last thing he said in this chapter in verse 13. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, you know, again, folks, we love sinners, hate the sin. I mean, we don't rejoice in any of this. We do everything within the boundaries of Scripture to try to reclaim people. We pray for them and all this. But we don't make excuses and break scriptural principles in the process. And I think what's really happened in our churches, the reason there's preachers that would not touch this chapter, there's preachers that won't preach against certain sins in their church, because the minute it comes into the church, all of a sudden, well, I can't mention that anymore. Come on. Yeah, we need to mention it. Matter of fact, that's a good reason to mention it. Because I'm going through the whole chapter, right? But he said a little leaven is going to leaven the whole lump, folks. And if you know what, if you tolerate it amongst the membership of the church, and you're not willing to church that member for their activity, then you know what's going to happen? Some other person that's in the church is going to say, well, they do it. Some young person is going to grow up saying, well, you know, I know what the Bible says, but several people in our church don't seem like it's that big a deal. So next thing you know, that type of behavior becomes more common. I want to say that again. Please, just let the Spirit of God deal with your heart. The Spirit of God's got to deal with my heart in this area. He's got to deal with your heart in this area. But what have we done? I mean, what are we doing in this matter of just spending regular time in the presence, going out to eat, having them over to the house, going over to their house, spending time with people, the Bible says, who call themselves brothers, but are fornicators. And preacher, you can say whatever you want. Rip that page out then. You're smarter than God. See, that's why he said, y'all are puffed up. because you think you are smarter on how to reclaim them than I am. You see, we're going to get down here, folks, and what Paul is asking them to do is for the benefit of that man involved in the sin. Okay? He's saying, listen, if you deal with this properly and you obey what the Bible says here, it is the best chance to get them to repentance. Not buddying up with them, not making excuses for them, not taking them on vacation with you. I mean, what is going on? Not going out to eat with them on a regular basis. Not letting it exist in your own home. You know, I know it's tough. Okay, it's tough. Let's do some tough things. Holiness is holiness. Godliness is godliness. Your best chance to get that person to a place of repentance is to obey what the Bible says here. So what does the Bible tell them to do? So he says this in verse 4. He's going to give them specific instruction in verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because I said this once before when I was preaching on this. There's another place we could go where Paul said he turns somebody over to Satan. You know, sometimes we'll say, well, we just got to turn them over to the Lord. And you know what? You know what the Bible says? You know, you just turn them over to the devil. Just turn them over to the devil. I mean, are they really saved? If they are, it's the best chance to get them to repent. And even the devil destroys their flesh, at least their soul will still be saved. But if they're not saved, then let them go spend some time with their father. And maybe they'll realize he's not all it's cracked up to be. He's not going to keep all the promises he's made. You know, I just fear we can't get prodigals to the pig pen. We can't get them to the pig pen. Too many Christians going to keep them out of the pig pen. Send them care packages. Provide them lodging and food and all the excuses in the world. I mean, you know what the Bible says? Turn them over. You say, preacher, okay, weep, but turn them over. Okay, let it break your heart, but turn them over. Because the best way, the best chance you have of salvaging that person is not what we're seeing happening in church after church after church after church. And that's, hey, you know what? I know this is going on and everything, but listen, we still want you. You need to come. You need to be a part. You need to be in church. And next thing you know, you got half the church set around living in immorality. And everybody's patting on themselves on the back because I tell you what, our church is just accepting of everybody. Let me tell you about that bad, bad church down there just outside of Jasonville. And that's what's happening. If you obey the Bible nowadays, now this is crazy. Think of it. If you obey the Bible, you're a bad Christian. If you disobey the Bible, you're a good Christian. Have we reached the point where good is being called evil and evil is called good? We're saying that sweet is bitter and bitter is sweet. I mean, where are we at? So let's just obey the Bible. So he said, this is what I need you to do the next time you're gathered together. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, with the power of the Lord Jesus, when you're gathered together, he said, then you deliver that one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Jesus Christ, of the Lord Jesus. What is he saying? He's saying what I already read in verse 13. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Call him on it. Deal with it publicly. Okay, you don't get to come, sit in church, be a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and then be involved in an open, commonly reported public sexual sin. You don't get to do it. Okay, and if you keep walking in doing it, then you know what? You put the church in a situation where we have to deal with it. Okay, and if we don't deal with it, it's because we're proud and puffed up and disobedient and we think we're smarter than God. And we don't really love that person. Because if we love that person, we'd want to do the thing that's given them the best chance to come to repentance, not make excuses for it, okay? All right. Say, preacher, is this stuff always easy? No, it's never easy.
Is it fun? If it's fun to you, you need to see if you're saved. I don't think there's anything fun about it. I just pray, I'd rather just never be once mentioned among us. Let's shoot for that, okay? But we need to follow the scriptures in this. He says in verse 6, your glorying is not good. He said this pride, this puffed up, this idea that you've got a better plan than God, it's not good. And then he warns us again, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. And again, we've got to be careful, because folks, the more things that have become accepted and allowed, the more our young people are growing up thinking, well, this is normal Christianity, and it's not normal Christianity. And then he deals, and I've jumped ahead and dealt with some of this, but if you look down in verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. And again, folks, the more time we spend around people, you know, I was with somebody the other day, and not somebody in our church, somebody in the community, a professional businessman in our community, and he understood that we had had an altercation with one of the Linton businessmen that had come to our church and went out there and dressed up like a woman and, you know, protested our church. And so I was with this other businessman that knows this guy, and he said, you know, I know that guy, and I'm not even saying I agree with what he did, but he said, I think if you really just got to know him a little bit, he's really a nice guy, and he's done a lot of good things for the community, and you don't know how many times he brings people in and groups in and gives them free this and free that. Now, let me tell you what he just proved. If you're going to spend time around him, you're going to start making excuses for him. If you're going to spend time around them, then pretty soon you're going to say, well, they're not all that bad. And, you know, they do a lot of good. Wait a minute. God's drawn a line. Okay. I don't care if it's the Mother Teresa. Come on. I don't care if he gives every dime to feed the poor. And I don't. And I told him, I said, let me tell you why you're defending him right now. I said, because you've disobeyed the Bible and you're keeping company with fornicators. I said, that's why God says not to do it. And I told him something else that I can't say from the pulpit. And it's not because it's bad, it's because it's true and I can't say it. But I said, ask him about a letter that he wrote to a lady that's a member of an independent fundamental Baptist church. Ask him about that letter. Ask him about what he said about her Christianity. Listen, folks, you pull the layers back. A pervert's a pervert. What he said and what he wrote to a Christian lady was so vile, I wouldn't tell the men in our church what it was. That is so vile. And that's what listen, let me tell you something. These perverts behind the scenes want to be a pervert. They're so anti-God and so anti-church, but then they want to walk around the community acting like they're just the greatest thing. And you know what? That leaven is leavening the lump of our business community. It is. It's leavening the lump of the politicians. This is why they're always saying, well, I just feel like we can get the two sides together. If you guys could just sit down, if you get the two sides, I'm not interested in getting together. Paul says, I can make that call 1,000 miles away. I have to meet them. I don't have to know their name. I don't know their circumstances. Excuse me, you're involved immorally with your stepmother? I don't need to meet you. You need to repent. I don't need to discuss the circumstances. I don't need to find out what your story is or what happened to you when you were a little kid or how much you've given to United Way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. You're a pervert. Get right. All right. And so, well, that's tough. That's mean. Well, then God's tough and mean. That's God's word, okay? Be careful, folks. Be careful. He said, listen, yet not altogether with the fornicators in this world or with the covetous, extortioners, adulterers, for then must you needs go out in the world. He said, I'm not even talking about all that that's going out in the world. That ought to be obvious you don't keep company with them, because you'd have to go out in the world to do it. You're not supposed to be out in the world with them. But he said, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. that is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an adulterer, or railer, or drunkard, or extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, folks, there's a lot of things that you can do to try to help people that have gone off into gross sin. Okay, I'm not talking about, nobody's here to talk about giving up on them. But I'm talking about you can pray for them. I think from time to time, you know what? You can call them up on the phone. You can say, listen, I'm not here to talk to you. We're not going to discuss. I'm here to tell you, I'm praying for you, and I pray that God brings you to repentance. And you know what? There is a forgiving God, and there is a better way to live your life, and I pray that you'll come to repentance. Well, you just don't know the whole story. Are you still living with your stepmother? Okay, I think I know the whole story. God bless you. Be careful, folks. You know, I've watched this happen so many times. Somebody goes off into sin. Then you've got the good Christians. Well, all right. What happens to the good Christian? They go off into sin. So there's some more good Christians. Then they're off into sin. Amen. Amen. Now, you know, like I said, that's not true. If you brought a Bible, if you had it in your lap, you could read it. But it's there. So what do? You say, you know what? If you want to live an immoral life, and you know what? God bless you. If you can. And I'll pray for you, and I'll love you. And by the way, you walk back into the church with true repentance. With true repentance, and you want to get that right in your life, let me tell you, that's where the good Christians will come. But this whole idea of walking back in the church to flaunt your sin, okay, is not coming back as a prodigal. Some of you need to be wise enough to understand that. Well, they came back to church. Oh, really? Because I don't remember them coming forward and saying, I've sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. Make me as one of your servants. You know, we never see it. It's just if they walk back in the door, we're just all supposed to kill the fatted calf and get the, you know, and with no repentance, no I'm sorry, no I'm sinned, and with every intention to walk back out the door and continue in the sin. That's not a prodigal coming home. Okay, so what did he conclude here in verse 13? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. You know what? Let me say it plain. If you're not married and you're involved in immorality, God says it's wickedness. It's a sin you need to repent of. If you are married and you're unfaithful outside of that marriage, that is wickedness. That's something you need to repent of, okay? If you're outside of a marriage, but you're wanting to carouse around and act like you're still married, only you're not, that's wickedness. It's not anything. Any one of those three things ought to be tolerated amongst the membership of a biblical New Testament church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the plainness of the scriptures. Thank you for what the Bible says. We ask, Lord, and pray, dear God, you would bring, Lord, our prodigals to repentance. And Lord, that you would bring them back within your will. Lord, I pray, dear God, until that time comes, that you would cause us and help us to have the wisdom and the strength to deal properly and biblically with each of these situations. Lord, thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the young people in our church that are doing right, wanting to do right. May we not allow things in our church that would cause them to begin to question where God draws the lines of morality. Pray these things in Jesus' name.